morning and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, September 8, 2020. The Union of Journalists in South Sudan is calling for unconditional release of their member arrested last week in Juba.
I don't see the reason why they actually called the journalist and his editor, and they have talked, they have agreed, they then released this journalist to go and do their work, and then after some hours, they again came back for the journalist and they now took the journalist up to date.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The Union of Journalists in South Sudan is calling for the release of Jackson Ochaya, who disappeared last week in Juba. The chairperson of the Union of Journalists says South Sudan's national security operatives summoned the journalist to their headquarters to answer questions in connection to a story he published in a local newspaper in August. For VOA News, David Monodanga reports from Juba.
Stella Kiden, acting managing editor of the Number One Citizen, a newspaper, wrote to the South Sudan Media Authority yesterday to describe the circumstances under which Ochaya disappeared. In her letter, Kiden says National Security Service operatives summoned her and Ochaya to their headquarters last Monday, then released them that evening. Kiden says security agents asked Ochaya to return Tuesday to pick up his identity card and a belt that was removed during his questioning. She says after Ochaya collected his ID card, he went back to work but asked permission to leave in order to meet an uncle who apparently called and asked to meet him in the Tomping residential area. That was the last time.
Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, September 8, 2020. The Union of Journalists in South Sudan is calling for unconditional release of their member arrested last week in Juba.
I don't see the reason why they actually called the journalist and his editor, and they have talked, they have agreed, they then released this journalist to go and do their work, and then after some hours, they again came back for the journalist and they now took the journalist up to date.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The Union of Journalists in South Sudan is calling for the release of Jackson Ochaya, who disappeared last week in Juba. The chairperson of the Union of Journalists says South Sudan's national security operatives summoned the journalist to their headquarters to answer questions in connection to a story he published in a local newspaper in August. For VOA News, David Monodanga reports from Juba.
Stella Kiden, acting managing editor of the Number One Citizen, a newspaper, wrote to the South Sudan Media Authority yesterday to describe the circumstances under which Ochaya disappeared. In her letter, Kiden says National Security Service operatives summoned her and Ochaya to their headquarters last Monday, then released them that evening. Kiden says security agents asked Ochaya to return Tuesday to pick up his identity card and a belt that was removed during his questioning. She says after Ochaya collected his ID card, he went back to work but asked permission to leave in order to meet an uncle who apparently called and asked to meet him in the Tomping residential area. That was the last time.
This is the journalist as a criminal, by the way.
Modi says law enforcement agents should arrest a person in the presence of either family members or colleagues, so at least their whereabouts is known. South Sudan's constitution requires a detained person to be produced in court of law within 24 hours of their detention. Number One Citizen Management declined to comment any further. Attempts to reach Mary Ajit, chairperson of the Association of Media Development in South Sudan, for comment were unsuccessful as she did not answer repeated calls. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
Some older South Sudanese in the capital, Juba, say life is difficult during the coronavirus pandemic. Some of the old people say they constantly worry about contracting the virus because of their underlying conditions. A study by a humanitarian and a development consortium carried out in Juba in June found that 80% of old people have at least one health condition, which makes them vulnerable to the coronavirus. For VOA News, Ding Magot reports from Juba.
63-year-old Nyayogat Kek has lived in a UN-run IDP camp in Juba's Mangaten village with seven of her relatives for the past 3 years. Gatkek says since the first positive cases of COVID-19 were identified in South Sudan several months ago, she and other elderly neighbors have found it difficult to visit relatives outside the camp and increasingly feel stigmatized.
Coronavirus may have been...
If we try to go outside to visit people I know, they tell me that I should not visit their house and accuse me of having coronavirus. They say, don't come.
Another IDP, 50-year-old Luka Deng Hoth, has lived in the Mangaten IDP camp for the past 3 years. Hoth says he suffers from an eye disease and used to visit an optician regularly, but since the government confirmed COVID-19 cases in the country, he has avoided...
Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, September 8, 2020. The Union of Journalists in South Sudan is calling for unconditional release of their member arrested last week in Juba.
I don't see the reason why they actually called the journalist and his editor, and they have talked, they have agreed, they then released this journalist to go and do their work, and then after some hours, they again came back for the journalist and they now took the journalist up to date.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The Union of Journalists in South Sudan is calling for the release of Jackson Ochaya, who disappeared last week in Juba. The chairperson of the Union of Journalists says South Sudan's national security operatives summoned the journalist to their headquarters to answer questions in connection to a story he published in a local newspaper in August. For VOA News, David Monodanga reports from Juba.
Stella Kiden, acting managing editor of the Number One Citizen, a newspaper, wrote to the South Sudan Media Authority yesterday to describe the circumstances under which Ochaya disappeared. In her letter, Kiden says National Security Service operatives summoned her and Ochaya to their headquarters last Monday, then released them that evening. Kiden says security agents asked Ochaya to return Tuesday to pick up his identity card and a belt that was removed during his questioning. She says after Ochaya collected his ID card, he went back to work but asked permission to leave in order to meet an uncle who apparently called and asked to meet him in the Tomping residential area. That was the last time.
80% of older persons have at least one health condition. You will find that with their age and their immunity is low, it's easy for them to contract a virus.
Gabonziza says older people living alone without family nearby have more problems accessing clean water and latrines because they are disabled. He says his organization has been sending caregivers to older persons to help with their medications because many fear to go to the hospital because they might contract coronavirus.
Difficulty to access the health services is to fear that congestion, thinking of their immunity, thinking of the sicknesses they have, it's easy for them to contract. So it reached a point where they're even deciding to stay at home rather than going to hospital.
Aniruno Joseph, an assistant legal officer at HDC, says due to COVID-19, many older people are spending more time at home with little physical contact with family members.
They are living a life of fear, not like these other people, you know, because people believe COVID-19, when an older person gets it, the person will immediately die. It's not like the young one who will recover.
Joseph says older people are living a life of total fear due to COVID-19. For VOA News, I am Ding Magot in Juba.
With the impact of COVID-19 pandemic and the collapse in oil prices, the Nigerian economy is plunging into what it could be its worst recession in four decades. Reporter Gift Agriga from Abuja, Nigeria, takes a look at how the country can fend off this looming recession.
A new World Bank report estimates that Nigeria's economy would likely contract by 3.2% in 2020, assuming the spread of COVID-19 is contained by the third quarter of the year. However, it says if the spread of
Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, September 8, 2020. The Union of Journalists in South Sudan is calling for unconditional release of their member arrested last week in Juba.
I don't see the reason why they actually called the journalist and his editor, and they have talked, they have agreed, they then released this journalist to go and do their work, and then after some hours, they again came back for the journalist and they now took the journalist up today.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The Union of Journalists in South Sudan is calling for the release of Jackson Ochaya, who disappeared last week in Juba. The chairperson of the Union of Journalists says South Sudan's national security operatives summoned the journalist to their headquarters to answer questions in connection to a story he published in a local newspaper in August. For VOA News, David Monodanga reports from Juba.
Stella Kiden, acting managing editor of the Number One Citizen, a newspaper, wrote to the South Sudan Media Authority yesterday to describe the circumstances under which Ochaya disappeared. In her letter, Kiden says National Security Service operatives summoned her and Ochaya to their headquarters last Monday, then released them that evening. Kiden says security agents asked Ochaya to return Tuesday to pick up his identity card and a belt that was removed during his questioning. She says after Ochaya collected his ID card, he went back to work but asked permission to leave in order to meet an uncle who apparently called and asked to meet him in the Tomping residential area. That was the last time.
Agiriga from Abuja, Nigeria.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, what is the latest news on COVID-19 vaccine? That story is lined up for you right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how can you change or maintain your country's reputation?
First of all, change the positions of the police officers and even in the army, because it's not well organized. There's a lot of corruption in it.
I would like to encourage the people around the country to maintain the good behaviors in the country. And when it is bad, maybe I would encourage them to copy from other countries which are doing good outside.
Unity anyway, unity. Cooperation. Cooperation among the nationals. It can promote our country.
In talking about the peace in this country, it would make people be more interested.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA Health Correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, Staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. In our health segment today, we look at the progress on COVID-19 vaccine. The World Health Organization says it is unlikely a safer, effective vaccine against COVID-19 will be available for widespread use before the middle of next year. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
Health officials are urging people to lower their expectations. They say the development of a safe, efficacious vaccine takes time and cannot be rushed. As it is, the World Health Organization reports remarkable progress is being made toward this end. It notes at least 6 to 9 candidate vaccines have begun phase 3 clinical trials. WHO spokeswoman Margaret Harris says many thousands of people participate in these carefully crafted trials. She says a vaccine must be proven to be safe and seen to provide protection against the coronavirus in at least 50% of subjects before it can be approved for public use. She says the safety of the vaccine has to be monitored at all stages of the research, making this a lengthy process.
The good news is the manufacturers are already putting bets on which one's likely to be the vaccine, and they're already working out how they can scale up production of vaccines once we know which ones are the ones we will roll out. But in terms of realistic timelines, we're really not expecting to see widespread vaccination until the middle of next year.
Harris tells VOA that WHO does not tell governments when a vaccine should be made available for emergency or general use. She says that is a decision for countries to make for themselves. However, she cautions against raising false hopes about the prospect of an imminent vaccine that will vanquish the pandemic.
What we've been saying over and over is nobody should be sitting there waiting for the magic bullet, thinking that the vaccine is going to solve all this or that there'll be a wonder drug. What we have to do now is do the things we know suppress this virus. And those are the basics, the hand washing, the social distancing that we're doing, the mask wearing.
She says WHO believes all nations must work together in the search for a vaccine. She says sharing and comparing data is important and will result in a vaccine that protects everybody. Harris calls this a global public good. She says a vaccine not only is essential, but must be provided in all parts of the world, adding that unless everybody is protected, nobody is protected. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Moving to Southern Africa, in northern Mozambique, people fleeing attacks by a group that is allied to the Islamic State network of extremists continue to stream into the port of Pemba. The violence began in Cabo Delgado province almost 3 years ago. An aid organization say it has claimed many lives and displaced hundreds of thousands of people. Darren Taylor reports from Johannesburg.
The International Committee of the Red Cross is still helping Mozambicans who lost everything because of Cyclone Kenneth a year ago. Now, says ICRC Southern Africa Chief Mamadou Sow, it also has to deal with the suffering caused by an escalating and increasingly brutal Islamist insurgency sweeping Cabo Delgado.
It has really turned this province to an inferno. Thousands and thousands of homes have been burnt to the ground. Thousands of people have been killed. Schools, healthcare facilities have been destroyed and reduced to rubbles. Farmlands have been destroyed.
Fighting between militants and government soldiers in areas that were once safe is forcing inhabitants to escape to Pemba on the coast.
Some are coming by foot from the interior of the country, others are coming by boat. But by and large, they are coming with absolutely nothing. Huh? You're talking about two kinds of displaced persons, one fleeing preventively So they feel the violence coming closer, but you have an overwhelming majority who are fleeing because their homes were destroyed, their livelihoods are decimated.
The ICRC is providing displaced people with essentials such as personal hygiene items and kitchen sets. It has also given cash to some highly vulnerable families. Much more is needed, says So. But in the middle of the darkness and desperation, something great, as he describes it, has happened.
An overwhelming majority of these people who fled the violence, they arrived in town and they have been, by and large, welcomed and hosted by communities. I'm absolutely inspired by the compassion, you know, and the solidarity of those who've really welcomed them and shared with them the very meager resources that they have.
The ICRC also is working with local health authorities.
When towns see their population increase overnight, the facilities get overburdened. So the Red Cross is on the ground supporting and beefing the capacity of the primary health care centers in town.
This is especially important in Pemba, one of Mozambique's COVID-19 epicenters. With a population increasing in the town because of the violence in the interior, Sao says the risk of a surge of infections is now very real. Most of the displaced people are living in overcrowded conditions, under which coronavirus is easily spread. The Red Cross, together with the World Health Organization and other aid groups, has built the country's biggest coronavirus treatment facility in Pemba.
You know, it's very paradoxical. You know, we spend a lot of effort and time with support from WHO, from MSF to build it. But our dearest hope is that it will not be used at its fullest capacity. But it has the capacity right now to manage 200 beds, and it could be scaled up quickly to 400.
But for now, So says the ICRC's greatest concern is the fallout from the extremist attacks. So he's making a plea.
Most importantly, there is the need for us to remind everybody who is involved in violence in Cabo Delgado to uphold human dignity, to respect the lives of those who have nothing to do with the fighting. It's the law, but it's also the right thing to do.
Saul knows, however, that in situations like this, the forces involved more often than not ignore what's right. The ICRC, he says, remains committed to helping the people of Cabo Delgado, no matter what the risks are. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Cameroon authorities and rights groups say villages along the Nigerian border need humanitarian aid and support after deadly Boko Haram attacks in the last few weeks displaced at least 7,000 people. Villagers have been fleeing their homes since early August after the Islamist militant attacks, which killed at least 22 people and wounded 20 others. Moki Edwin Kinzika reports from the northern town of Marawo.
More than 100 people displaced by recent Boko Haram attacks gathered Monday in the town of Mora to receive food aid. Several humanitarian groups, including the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, handed out goats and bags of rice, among other goods. 64-year-old Cameroonian Mahamat Judde is among some 7,000 villagers in the past month who fled the Islamist militants' attacks. Cameroon authorities say a suicide bomber hit the village of Godavi last week on the border with Nigeria, killing 7 people and wounding 14 others. Dudje was among those who fled the village, which was already hosting people displaced by the violence. He says after receiving 3 goats and a bag of rice, he is sure of having at least 1 meal a day for the next few weeks. FAO representative Fulbert Haibai Daliwa says they are doing their best to help those whose livelihoods have been disturbed by the militants.
Dans cette zone,
He says many of the people FAO is helping have lost everything to Boko Haram and are now very poor, hungry and thirsty. Daliwa says the FAO's goal is to help those who are suffering. The UN says Goldavi has for the past 7 years hosted 18,000 displaced people who sought refuge from Boko Haram. 48-year-old Alida Waliku is a spokeswoman for female displaced in Goldavi. She says the women and children have been living in hunger since last week's attack. Wakilu says the women she leads need land in safer places so they can grow maize, millet and onions to feed their families. She says that is what they long for while they wait for Boko Haram to be defeated so they can return to their villages. It was the second suspected Boko Haram attack on Cameroonian civilians who were already displaced in the past month. In August, authorities blamed Boko Haram for an attack that killed 17 people and wounded 6 others in a camp for displaced in the border village of Ngwecheve. Spokesman for Cameroon's military, Cyril Atongfak, says troops have been sent to assist civilians in areas still prone to Boko Haram attacks. He says military health workers have been deployed to treat sick internally displaced people on Cameroon's northern border with Nigeria, where Boko Haram has destroyed hospitals and chased away health workers. Atongfak says the military gives food aid and psychological care to traumatized Boko Haram victims. The United Nations says Boko Haram attacks in the Lake Chad Basin have killed more than 300,000 people and displaced over 3 million in the past decade. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Mora, Northern Cameroon.
That's our show for this Tuesday. We would like to welcome our listeners of Don Bosco Radio 91.0 FM in Tongetown, who have joined the family of VOA's affiliate stations in South Sudan. We would like to hear comments from Tonge about this show. We now leave you with the song Party People by Ras Corby.
Lovers, lovers, yeah.
Party people, if you're ready, say yeah. Party people, if you're ready, say yeah. Party people, if you're ready, say yeah. Party people, if you're ready.
Dance, all you have to find a pretty girl fi dance with.
You hear what I say?
And when you come and dance, all you have to find a pretty girl fi dance with.
You hear me?
And when you come and dance, all you have to find a pretty girl fi dance with.
You hear me?
And when you come and dance, all you have to find a pretty girl fi dance with.
I met this lady down in the dance hall, and she was looking good, looking fine, pretty, good looking. Pretty lady, tell me your name. Where you living and where you coming from? I want to know you. Oh, pretty lady, I want to talk to you. To keep you down in my heart every day and night.
Whiny, 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 give me all the diney, diney, diney. Give me all the whiny, whiny, whiny. Give me now the diney, diney, diney. Oh, give me now the shaky, shaky, shaky. Give me now the dancey, dancey, dancey. Oh, give me now the shaky, shaky, shaky. Oh, give me now the dancey, dancey, dancey.
We've been listening to Ras Corby with the song Party People. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your homes, phones, and vehicles. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
I'm a look, I'm a jack, I'm a look, I can't see. No other woman pretty like you. I'm a look, I'm a jack, I'm a look, I can't see. No other woman pretty like you. Touch me in my heart, I feel so nice. Touch me in the day, me feel I right. Give me that night.